Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now. Game Pass subscribers, it is the first ever episode 7 of the best Game Pass podcast in the world, Game Pass or Pass. This is the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends or simply pass on by. I am Corey. Today I am joined, as always, I don't know why I say like I'm joined. I should just like say you're like...
I mean, you're... Maybe you're pushing me out. I don't know. Like, maybe you have people, other hosts in the wing.
Where's Chris? There are a lot of Game Pass. Dude has Game Pass. And you know what he does? Plays the Switch.
Oh, like, it sounds just fucking like him.
Yeah, we've played some Gears 5. There's no of War anymore. And we played some Horde. And he's like, yeah, I'll get to it. But what does he do? No, he starts Persona 5.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
It's the second time you started it, though.
That's a bad idea.
He never finished the first time. I am Corey, joined by Basher.
What's the deal, good sirs?
Before we get there, we are going to talk about a game, but we're going to do some housekeeping at the start of the show here. If you are listening to us, our last episode, Gears 5, was by far, way and away. Is that how?
Yeah, I think so.
Our most popular episode.
I don't know why.
I would say a six-fold increase over our previous most popular episode, which was our Halo Wars 2 episode. So if you are a new listener, thank you for joining us. According to my statistics, you all are from Apple Podcasts. So...
Goddamn right you are.
So if you're listening on that service, why not give us a rating? Even if it's a bad rating. I would like a good rating. That would be ideal. But at least a rating is important.
And if you're listening from Spotify, you go fuck yourselves.
Okay. We did not have a single listen from Spotify.
Yeah, you're right. We did it.
It was Apple Podcasts and Podcasts were the best.
We did it. Yes.
By far the highest. So if you're listening to any of those services, give us a rating. They really help us out. But no, I mean, for us only having six episodes out, we had quite a few listens. So I'll be interested to see how many people are carrying forward and listening to our wonderful, wonderful podcast here. But that's all I have at the top of the show. On this episode, I almost said this week, but I guess I can't say that. We're going to be talking about Villa Gorilla's Yoku's Island Express.
Big fan.
Villa's first game. Yeah, first game. They started it in 2013, believe it or not. And their original goal was to only make a game in 1 year. That obviously didn't happen. But the reason that they decided to do a pinball is because they didn't have an animator. So they decided to basically try to, they stuck with that idea. And what we got was the pinball Metroidvania Yoku's Island Express.
All right. Before you even start, before you get too into it, you told me that this game was part pinball, part Metroidvania. I said, you're stupid. Like, all right, because my long time running joke is the only two games that could do Metroidvania well are Metroid and Castlevania. The rest of them are okay at best. They're neat. They're all right, but like none of them actually like really like take full advantage of the Metroidvania aspect of the map system. It's hot, like, damn.
It's like when someone tries to make a third-person cover shooter game that's not Gears of War. It's like, this works, but it's just not quite dialed in there.
Yeah, it'll snap right.
Exactly, but no, so before we get into this game, let's go over the details here. The regular price for this game is $19.99. It is available on Steam, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. It is also available on Switch, but you will have to pay a premium there of $30 if you want to get it on a cartridge. I could not find the digital price. I think something's wrong with Nintendo's website at the moment, but I'm going to guess it's probably $20. There's usually like a $10 tax because of the whole cartridge thing. Physical media is expensive, I guess. I don't think it's $10 expensive, but what do I know? And you can also get this on disc as well if you are one of the physical collectors, and it's pretty cheap if you pick up a used copy. I think I saw some for like $8, and for $8, that is a steal. But obviously, it is also available on Xbox Game Pass. This is not an Xbox Play Anywhere game, though. Your saves do not carry over, which is a bummer, but it is what it is. There is no DLC currently planned, which if there was, I would buy it in a heartbeat. When it comes to 1,000 pointing it or getting all the achievements, I would rate this game as probably pretty easy, but what I will also say is it is extremely enjoyable. It's one of the few games where the achievements actually really, you basically just have to play the game and do well at it and explore everything that the game has to offer, and you'll get all the achievements. That's usually how I like it. Every once in a while, I do like a little curveball in there to maybe make me play the game a way I wasn't thinking, but this game doesn't really have that option, I guess you could say, because it already is super unique in being a Metroidvania pinball. So it is not Xbox One X enhanced, unfortunately, so you Xbox One X owners out there, still looks nice, but you will not get those 4K crispy visuals. I think that's a weird word to describe a game picture. Crispy? Image quality is crispy or crisp, but I still use it.
I mean, I didn't think it was weird that you just called it weird. I thought it was fine up until this point.
I just don't like whenever I say the word crisp or crispy, I just think of chicken. So
would you call it moist, maybe? Like a moist picture?
No, moist to me, like that would be like it's blurry.
All right, okay, fair enough. I gotta tell you, when I first popped this game in, like one of the first hurdles I approached was like, and when I mean like first, I mean like the first like 3 or 4 minutes of the game, I'm like, okay, I see what's kind of happening with this map and how I'm moving around. However, how am I going to get down there or up there or over there by just pinballing my way over? This might be one of the it's been a while since I described a game like this, but it might be one of the most intelligent games I've ever played. Like, it's just a really smart, intuitive system of moving around, like just by pinballing your way up and down and left and right through a map, and that you can easily get lost in. Like, but you don't.
Yeah, I still in my brain when I say Metroidvania pinball, like there's always that just like, okay, but like how does it? What's the twist of it? Like what? You can combine two genres, but there has to be a way to make them cohesive and make them work together. But it's literally a Metroidvania pinball. Like, picture you're playing Metroid, and then sometimes to traverse or to complete a task or to unlock some health or whatever you're doing whenever you're unlocking something in a Metroidvania, you're playing pinball instead. And the art style really lends itself. You know, it's a very colorful, almost Ori and the Blind Forest looking style game. Not as dark as that. Colorful, but
I got a Viva Pinata feel from it. Like that's what I
like.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Really, a lot of things, a lot of the colors really popped. A lot of the sounds really popped. Like that was like important to me. Probably about 10 minutes into it, you get to your title screen, and it comes out of nowhere, and it's like it's just a beautiful. It just played beautifully. It came out of nowhere. It's just like the entire game has this flow to it, this breath of fresh air to it that's just really quite unremarkable. Like I am impressed by a lot of this game.
Yeah, and I think the first thing that jumped out to me when I was playing it was I guess it wasn't the first thing, but it was more of like the, like you said, the progression of it. This game is not terribly long. You can get to the credits in probably about 4 hours, but to do everything, it's going to take longer, probably like 8 to 10, because there is backtracking and stuff involved. But what stood out to me is that the progression of it is actually even more intelligent than you think. It's just like, so with the Metroidvania, it's very easy. You're like, okay, well, I need to get this item before I can go into this door kind of thing. And so how do you blend that with a pinball game? And the way they do it, we're not going to do any spoilers or anything, but it's extremely smart. And it never does the same thing twice or does it too much. It never really...
That's a good point.
Yeah, it never halts your progression in a way that's annoying. Like, the biggest criticism, I think, of any Metroidvania is that where the fuck do I go? Like, that can happen, and it's extremely annoying when it happens, and usually it requires me to, like, okay, let me pull up this map here and just scan it and find, like, oh, there's a door here I just didn't see.
So it happens in the best of it. It happened to me in the blood. What's the name of that blood ritual?
Bloodstain.
Yes. Like at that point where you need to see like the librarian or something. I'm like, I forgot all about that guy. And that's one thing I like about this game is that you don't forget about the characters because they're all quite unique and different. Just in terms of of appearance and where they are in the map, because depending on where the map, it might be a really dark area, it might be a really bright area, it might be the wooded area, it might be the lava area or something. You just like everything kind of stands out. So you're like, if I need to go there, I know how to get there and I know who to see. Like you don't really lose your way.
Yeah, and I will say once you have beaten the campaign or the story or whatever, that is not, it's not as smooth, simply because you're sort of doing the extra stuff and they make it a little bit more difficult to sort of, I don't want to say it's more difficult to progress, but the things that you're doing are require a little bit more skill. So sometimes you might end up missing something or not getting something right away, but the main story progression is extremely smart and extremely well told. And just a way of kind of moving you through that game. And the locations are like, they're all very unique. They all have a very, very strong style when it comes to art direction, but as well as music. I think the music is by far the part that stood out to me the most. Like everything about the presentation stood out to me. And as someone who just like, I could stare at Ori and the Blind Forest all day long, and I had the same kind of vibe with this game of just like everything pops in a way and it's got style. And my favorite thing is you play as a little beetle basically, and you're tugging a ball around, and that's sort of how you get the pinball vibe of it. And just like the way the beetle sort of interacts as he gets like smashed by this ball, and like he always sort of has this look on his face of like a crash test dummy of just like surprise. And it's hilarious every time you see it. And you just picture this beetle, his arms just like flailing everywhere. Like he has no control of anything that's going on with his life, but he's accomplishing what he set out to do. So everything just has this style and presentation that from beginning to end is always fresh. And it never got boring to me, which is, that says a lot. Like I think that's a very hard thing to accomplish in any video game.
Oh, agreed. But yeah. Like, as I said in the previous episode about Gears, like how it's like there's parts of the game where I'm like, I just want to do this and only this. And if it did something else, I'm like, you're losing me. This game didn't really have that moment where it lost me. And I think what lends to that is the fact that it's not super long. And the first playthrough is not super challenging in a way where it's annoying. Like they kind of figured out because halfway through I really felt like, it's going to get to a point where it gets all Mega Man on me, and it's going to be like you have to get the most precise of the precise of the precise fucking bumpers or hits. And it's like, no, you just kind of groove to the music and like enjoy the visuals, and like you just kind of flow through this world. And it's like, and you never really need to stop and go, all right, what do I do now? Or like, all right, oh, this again. It's like, oh, this is fun, this is new, and then we're on to the next thing.
Yeah, and that's a testament to just how well the pacing of it is. And I think I've said that probably 1,000 times now, but it truly is where this game shines. And it's just, and even I'm curious, did you go back and play anything more, or did you just sort of play the campaign and be done with it?
I was the campaign and be done with it. Like, because as much as I love, it's one of those pinball games where it's like, I didn't play it for the challenge, if that makes sense. Like I played it to see through the end of it and then kind of just get lost in it. I will say, like, if there's any very specific thing that you needed to do, you weren't nailing it the right way, like, that's when my brain would kind of be like, all right, I've been here for longer than I wanted to be. Like, I want to move on from this. But so that's why I kind of didn't go through it the second time for the challenge. I didn't play for the challenge.
Well, no, like, that's kind of the answer I was hoping you would say is, and that's where I think it also is extremely smart, because I've actually recommended this game to a couple people, and there's one person in particular that I normally sort of play games with here and there. And she's not a hardcore gamer kind of person, you know, like, you know, we'll play Gears or something, but if I were to sit her in front of, you know, anything, I don't want to say like hardcore, but like anything that is more not mainstream kind of thing, it can be difficult. And I sat her in front of this game and she loved it and she played every minute of it. And so it's very cool to be able to recommend this game to people that not only like play a lot of video games, but also just play games, you know, like it's cool that the main story and the progression really sort of puts you in that position to be able to like, okay, like I had a great time. I saw everything. I did everything and I'm done. Like, I don't need to keep playing. I don't need the extra challenge because I'm satisfied with what I had. But then if you're sort of like me and just like, I want to play more of this game and I want something a little more challenging, it's 100% there, which is cool. Like, usually you have to wait to a sequel or something for that. Like, usually the first game will nail it and it's like, okay, well, we've nailed the mechanics, but now we've got to sort of build on them to really understand how to make it more difficult and more challenging and better, et cetera. But it's all just sort of contained in this game. And I had no issues going back and trying to complete all the achievements and everything like that. And I enjoyed my time immensely doing it. So that says a lot to that game. So
absolutely. I mean, and to the point you said during that, was just a matter of like trying to get these all these things to work together. Is like going back to our episode about Halo Wars 1 and how they try to, like, I mean, like, it's funny, like, compared to that game where it's like, the only thing you gotta, like, the only thing you have to do is put RTS on a console. That's all you gotta do.
Right.
Like, and during that chat, I remember saying, like, it's probably a lot harder than we think it is. But if you told me during that time, like, all right, I need you to make a pinball game that's also in Metroidvania, I'm going to say it's fucking impossible. Like,
right.
Like, there's no way to do that and make it fun and make it engaging and make it so you don't get bored, don't get stuck, you don't get lost. There's just no way you could do it. And it's like, this game comes out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, this is just phenomenal in every aspect.
Yeah, and that's... It can't be overstated or understated. Is that what I'm looking for? It can't be understated that's so freaking impressive. Like if whether or not you understand or like game design, like the fact that they pulled this off in such a tremendous way, like I really, really hope that we get some sort of a sequel I'd be fine with, but I want to see what other games that these developers can make or this developer can make. From what I understand, it's only like a couple people. So whether or not we get another game from them, it's hard to say. But it shows that when you have something on paper, like you said, and turning it into an actual product is extremely difficult. And the fact that they nailed it is just, it's so freaking impressive. But as just a fan of games in general, it's really cool to be able to see, you know, we don't get new things very often.
Right.
You know,
there's
a reason that, you know, you can classify every game as, you know, one of six different genres type of thing, a platformer, a, you know, metric, you know, whatever it is. And the fact that they were able to take two extremely popular genres, play style.
One of them is a genre. I mean,
yeah, right.
I mean, one of them is a popular genre. I mean, like, there's not a lot of pinball games out there.
Right. And especially good ones. That's what I'll say. Because I've played stuff like Pinball FX and
I
can't remember the other one that it's called. But I don't, there's just something about it. Like, maybe it's just the fact that it's not the actual, it's a cool from a preservation standpoint of like, yeah, like this is a cool thing. Like, this is what the table looked like. This is how it flowed. But there's something about pinball that you got to be standing in front of it kind of thing.
I agree. Yeah,
and that's why those games just never resonated with me. And the fact that they could make a pinball game extremely fun says a lot. Says a lot about being able, like, developing fun factor. So
that's a good point. I think that's why it works so well for me. Because I mean, like I'm a fan of Sonic Spinball because Sonic's in it. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
This that's the only reason. But this game isn't like it's funny because literally you get from point A to point B by playing pinball. And you complete challenges and puzzles by playing pinball, but at the same time, like, you're not really here to play pinball,
right? Right, because the goal of pinball is a high score. So the fact that they were able to sort of weave progression into pinball it's crazy to think about. Like, it really is. And like when you think about it now, it's like, well, duh, that's easy. But being able to not have a game to look at, it blows my mind that they were able to do it. Like, honestly, and I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think that's what it is. Like, the fact that when you're playing this game, you're pinballing your way through. Yeah, I mean the graphic style has already like caught your eye. The music has caught your ear. And the pinballing part of it just never really. It never gets to a circular motion where it's like never ending, doing the same thing. It's progression involved. Like, you're in this area, you're pinballing this one thing or a few things, whatever. And once you do all those things, you're on to the next area. So you feel like you completed something and not just sit there pinballing your way through the same machine.
Right, and that's in a physical standpoint, that's okay with pinball because there's lots of things going on that are sort of, you know, hitting your senses. You know, you've got the sounds, you've got the machine screaming at you kind of thing. So like you said, like the fact that the music and the art style is able to grip you with that progression, I think that's what keeps it fresh. Whereas like something with a pinball FX, it's just like, okay, like I've seen everything that this game has to offer. Now what? And I feel like you can hit that really quick, but not with Yoku's Island Express. It's fantastic. God, that game's fantastic. But the only other thing I want to say, and I want to drive this home, is that go to YouTube if you're listening to this. Well, wait till we're done, and then go to YouTube and just listen to the soundtrack. Like, the title track for this game is, I can't even think of the word for it. It's like, we're using a lot of buzzwords like incredible, but like, it truly is one of the best just soundtracks in terms of during a gameplay that I've ever had. But outside of the game, it takes a lot for me to download a soundtrack or try to buy a soundtrack outside of a game. There's very few that have done it, and this is one of them where I will constantly have this on when I'm just doing something at home or whether I'm in the car. And like, if I need something that's just very soothing and just very, what's the word I'm looking for, like, it doesn't like put me to sleep, but it's just, it's the tempo of it is just so smooth and just sort of chill that I'm just like, yeah, like this is cool, this is nice kind of thing.
I completely agree. I mean, this is one of the, like, I can't say I bought the soundtrack, however, it is that game where if I'm playing it on my big screen here at full volume and I gotta go do something else that's around the house, I'm just gonna leave this playing. Like, I don't put it on pause. I don't turn off the TV. I just let this play throughout the entire house. I'm like, this is real chill. This is everything about. All right. So my question to you is, because we just gushed over this unknown like little indie game for like 20 odd minutes here
from Villa Gorilla.
What don't you like about it?
Nothing. It truly is like there's. From a critical standpoint, we talked about how Halo Wars 2, in my opinion, was sort of underrated. I think that game, while it did launch with some issues, I feel like they really nailed merging the Halo world and an RTS. And so, like, I sort of looked up the reviews for this game, and they're positive, but there's a lot of like 8.5s. And what I struggle is as someone who has reviewed probably close to 400 or 500 games at this point, the way I review games is that there's no such thing as a perfect game. I look at a game and I from a art standpoint, from a gameplay standpoint, does it accomplish what it's trying to do? And there is nothing in Yoku's Island Express that I feel like it didn't accomplish.
I was about to disagree with you about that, but about this. I think it's a perfect game because my idea of a perfect game, a 10 out of 10 or whatever your perfect score is, would be just as you said, a game that on paper said we want to do this, this, and this, and they do that, that, and that.
Right. And with Halo Wars 2, and even though I think that game is underrated, I can see where it falls short. I can see where something was trying to be executed and it didn't work out. But with the Yoku's Island Express, like, yeah, it may only be 3 hours long, but that doesn't matter. Like, it still accomplishes everything that it set out to do. And so I really struggle with some of those reviews and, like, whatever. Like, obviously reviews are opinion, but I read some of them, but none of them really had a criticism other than, like, it's not very long and it really is just a Metroidvania and pinball. And it's just, like, those sort of contradict in my mind of, like, well, if it's not very long and all it is, quote, is a Metroidvania and a pinball game, then, like, that solved your problem. Your problem was it's only these two things, but it's not very long. Like, I really struggled with reading reviews of this game and being like, I can't put myself in the shoes of not giving this game a 10. Like,
oh no,
like, I really can't.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. And my reasoning for giving it a perfect score would have been just as what they described in that review you read. Like, it's a matter of, it's just pinball and Metroidvania. Very few pinball games are this good. Very few Metroidvania games are this good. No game has done the both of them this good. Like, right. It just doesn't make any, because I completely agree with you. Like, for me, it has to be like, I gotta see what you're trying to do. If you do it all well, then you get a good grade. If you do it all great, you get a great grade. But if you nail what you want to do damn near perfectly, like, you get a damn near perfect score. I'm like, this, and that's why I asked the question, because, like, for me, I was playing the game just feel like I felt that I would describe it as like a Nintendo fun factor. It's like I felt like I was playing Donkey Kong or something at some point, where it's just like the music was just popping, the visuals just popping. You're just flowing through this world in a way that you've never flowed through a world before. And it does it in the most stellar way possible. So I'm just like, this is like, I was not bullshitting you when I text you, like, this is like absolutely one of the best games I probably ever played. One of my favorite games, honestly. Like, this is, like, really up there. I love this game.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't want to harp on this whole review thing too long, but, like, a lot of the reviews that also sort of criticized or had issues with pacing and saying that the like I talked about earlier, the where the fuck do I go, I don't want to say issue, but sort of design that can come with a game like this, I never ran into that problem. So I'm not sure why, I don't want to say, like, I'm not sure why others did, but from a design standpoint, I don't understand how you ever got lost, because the game is very good about pushing you forward, sort of thing. So that's where I sort of have an issue. And maybe we're playing a version that is patched and something's been changed. I find that hard to believe, since it's being such a small team. I don't feel like they would have ever had time to really, you know, go back and fix if there was a huge sort of progression mishap. But yeah, so that's all. Yeah, I struggle to find anything wrong with this game. I mean, from the art style, from the presentation, from the gameplay, it's a home run. It's a home freaking run. So I think it's fair to say that when it comes to the Game Pass or pass, this game passes with flying colors.
I see pass on it. It's kind of garbage.
Yeah, it's not that great. It's because it's fantastic.
God damn it, this game was so goddamn good. Like, I am like, I mean, I will continue to be floored by this game, and it will be the new baseline for, like, well, if you're trying something new, it better be this level new. It better be, it better come together like this.
So, and it's, I've like considered starting over just because I want to see, like, how it holds up that second time through, kind of thing. But I want to give it some more time just to sort of to simmer, you know, you gotta let it simmer in the brain a little bit. But no,
got it. Like, I think this is, like, I'm okay with this being a one and done for me, honestly.
Like,
I definitely play it again. Like, that's no issue. I just, like, for me personally, I'm just like, This is a fun ride. I'm just gonna let that sit.
Yeah, for sure. So, to sum it up, Yoku's Island Express, it is on Game Pass for Xbox and Game Pass for PC. So whichever one you have, you can play it. And you should. You genuinely should. Like, out of all the games that we've played so far, we're only on, episode 7, I think it is. I think it's fair to say this is the best game that we've played so far.
If you would have told me starting this that the best game would have been a fucking pinball game, like, and by the way, this is what I know. Microsoft keeps trying to make, like, I mean, I remember at one point I was reading online, like, there was like a legitimate, like, job, what's the
posting?
Job posting. Yeah, thank you. Saying like, we're looking for people like so. Who develop games like Horizon Zero Dawn or something to that effect. And it's like, Microsoft needs more games and studios like this,
right?
Where they're just kind of like, here's some money, experiment, do something cool, and see where we end up. Because, like, if they had just a handful of games like this, I would be way more excited about having an Xbox.
Right.
Like,
and they have the platform, which is Game Pass, to get them out there and make them successful. Like, I had heard of Yoku's Island Express, but I had not. The word of mouth on it was good, but it wasn't anything I was ever probably going to spend money on just because of the risk factor. But because of Game Pass, it definitely it took the risk factor out of it, kind of thing. And like you said, like, these are the style of games that, you know, I don't want to turn this into the Microsoft business podcast, but with them purchasing a lot of studios, like you said, I'm looking forward to stuff like Ninja Theory. And while I don't always agree with the way that they talk about games and how they try to sell games, they're the type of studio that could make a $30 game and have it be a game of the year style game, as long as they're given the time and the effort. And the same thing with like Moon. And I know Microsoft doesn't own Moon Studios. I think that's going to change. I think they're going to buy Moon Studios. I guess I'm just mimicking what you said and said, yes, like this is the perfect Game Pass game because it sells you on an idea from a studio that you've never heard of. And it's truly one of the best games this generation. So, and it's very easy to have missed it. So, and that's why this is why Game Pass is awesome. And this is why, if you're not a Game Pass subscriber, this is why you should at least give it a shot. How about that?
I sound like a
Microsoft advertisement, but
no. I completely agree. As someone who's on a Game Pass podcast, who pays for Game Pass, and who just bought an Xbox, and still I would put someone on the fence about getting it if they just had more of these gems.
Right,
and they push more of these types of risk. I'd be like, you should really get this service to see what you may not like. And I'll end on this because we've been gushing about this for long enough. I would love to see what this team can do. I don't care how big they are. I would like to see what this team could do if you give them a somewhat decent budget and say, just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
because I don't want a sequel to this game. Like, just do whatever else is in your head. Just push that out. I just want to see what you do.
Yeah, because chances are it'd be very good. So, but that is gonna do it. But before we close this episode,
it's my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, we talked about Sea of Thieves, and we do still plan on doing Sea of Thieves, but that is a much different beast to tackle in terms of content, time, etc. So we're going to be doing probably another game as we're still playing Sea of Thieves. So we're going to be doing, as we do 8 out of 10 times,
do it.
The live spin for the next game on our list. I have the button here.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
It literally says, surprise me. And I'm going to hit that button, and it's spinning. And, oh.
It's spinning. Oh, why'd you say that like that?
Oh.
Why, Jesus Christ, man.
Right. I have played this game. I guess I'm going to play it again.
Here's five.
No. Super Lucky's Tale. The platforming game. That it has the PG version of Conker. I don't I don't know how else to say it. But all right, so Super Lucky's Tale. That's the next game. I'm gonna have a lot to say about this game, but you'll have to tune in next time to Xbox. Wow, no, to Game Pass or Pass.
Sorry, I like Xbox Pass.
Yeah, the official. Podcast. I'm looking at this, and I'm just the story of how this game became like part of the Xbox Studio sort of library. It was an interesting one. And as we'll talk about on the next episode,
where's his bag on his tail? This is stupid.
I mean, he's cute though. Look at his ears. He's got little cute ears.
He's not Sonic, whatever. But he better run fast.
That's gonna do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. Leave us a review if you don't mind. If you like us, don't like us. At least we'll know what we're doing wrong if you don't like us, or what we're doing right. Next time will be Super Lucky's Tale. Hit that subscribe button. I already said that. And we'll see you next time.
Good day, sirs.